For McCunn Specialty Firearms in Messina, this is Chris Parks, joined as always by Cass and Adair County Conservation Officer Grant Jelly with another week of the Conservation Report here on KJN. Good morning to you, Grant.
Good morning to you, Chris.
Well, Grant, busy time of year for folks getting out there in the woods, busy time for you as well, keeping an eye on them, and I think we've had some pretty strong numbers out there already here with deer season opening up.
Yeah, it is. Today marks the opening day and weekend of our second firearms deer season here in Iowa. First season was pretty successful, had roughly 21,000 deer harvested during that first weekend in Iowa. Seems like hunter numbers were a little bit lower during the first season compared to maybe other years, but I do tend to think that the second season is becoming our more popular season simply because hunters have two weekends and a little bit longer period to get out there and enjoy the season. And plus, it seems like weather is always a kind of a determining factor for people who wait till the last minute to kind of decide which one they'll hunt. The first season, we had some kind of a little bit above average, I would say, temperatures, and it looks like the second season we're set to get some pretty cold temps, especially next week. So it could get the deer a little bit more on the move and could get people more to thinking about chasing them.
Yeah, and we'll see, I guess, how that progresses here. But like you said, numbers as far as what's been harvested out there are already pretty good here in the state, and I know that there's always all kinds of things that are involved with being prepared for the season and then going out there and doing things the right way, and I'm sure you see a little bit of everything out there, but what are some of the things that you're running into the most here early on that folks are forgetting perhaps to do?
Yeah, I think I would like to take a minute and just kind of work my way from the very basic of requirements all the way to some of the more common violations that I see. And, you know, I guess what I would kind of suggest every deer hunter or every hunter in general that before they head to the field to do any hunting, you want to make sure that you're properly licensed. And so for a deer hunter, that's going to require having your hunting license as well as your habitat fee being paid. And then you have to have a deer tag that is applicable for whatever season that you're wishing to hunt. Sometimes I run into hunters who maybe don't have a hunting and habitat license, and could be a variety of things. Maybe they forget to buy. Maybe it's intentional. Sometimes I see when people buy the three-year license that third year comes and goes and they don't realize it. And so you need to keep in mind that the license don't go a year from when you purchase them. Our licenses expire at January 10th of each year. So if you haven't purchased one since January 10th, you will definitely need to do so from the previous year. Make sure that tag that you're using is good for the county that you're hunting, particularly if it's an antlerless tag. Sometimes we'll see people who, you know, for instance, in Cass County, we only sell 300 antlerless tags for deer season. And then you go over to Adair County where we sell just upwards of 1,000 deer tags there for antlerless season. And so sometimes people try to pull a little bit of a fast one, and they may try to purchase that Adair County antlerless tag and use that on a deer that's taken in Cass County, which is obviously an intentional no-no. So I want to make sure that you're doing that properly and abiding by the season or the zone that you have to be hunting in. Also, if you are successful in taking a deer, you want to make sure that you tag that deer before you transport it, before you move it, or before 15 minutes is expired. Place a tag on the antlers of an antlered buck or the leg of an antlerless deer. And then you'll have until midnight the day after the harvest to make sure that the deer is reported to our harvest report system, either by phone, text. You can use the app. You can go online. There's a whole variety of different ways that you can do that. But you want to make sure that the deer is being reported as well. Another thing that you need to make sure that you're paying attention to is the type of clothing that you're wearing. Whenever we have a firearms deer season, the hunter is required to have on a hunter orange or blaze orange upper garment that is the solid blaze orange color. Oftentimes I see deer hunters that are wearing what I consider like an upland style vest where it has patches of tans or browns on it that you traditionally see bird hunters wearing. The code clearly says that it has to be solid blaze orange, and obviously we want you to make sure that you have on as much orange as humanly possible to keep you safe. And then also, if you're hunting from a ground blind or blind that conceals the hunter, you need to make sure that you have orange on the outside of that blind itself. You must have 144 square inches on each visible side of the blind. You know, it kind of defeats the purpose of the hunter orange requirement when you wear orange and then you walk into a camouflage blind and cover that orange up. So make sure that you have that orange on the exterior of that blind as well. Trespass can be kind of a major concern during the deer seasons here in Iowa because in Cass County, we have a kind of a bad habit of some hunters that don't like to leave their truck to when deer hunting. And so I get complaints about people trespassing with vehicles or chasing deer with vehicles or even using mobile devices such as radios or cell phones to try and pinpoint where deer are located at. All of those things are illegal, and nothing irritates landowners and non-hunters more than seeing one of those things taking place, and it's bound to happen, unfortunately. So best bet is to get out of your truck, and if you like to participate in deer drives or deer pushes, as they call them, get out of the truck. Yeah, you know, do it like you're supposed to and walk instead of driving. Make sure you got your posters set up where they're visible and that they kind of stick to their plan and don't go moving around so we don't have an accident take place, because that's the last thing that anybody wants to have to go through during deer season. So those are just some of the common violations that we tend to run in with firearms deer hunters, and hopefully, you know, people get out there and do it the right way and can enjoy the outdoors and stay safe in the process of doing that.
Yeah, those are some great reminders. One thing that was kind of interesting that you brought up there, and I wondered, I guess, if this happens some, if there's somebody that is kind of an avid hunter and they have a couple of different locations, maybe that they go between, you know, the counties, they're hunting a spot that they like in Cass County, they're also going over hunting in Adair County. Do you see people that oftentimes are doing that, where they're buying the tags that are applicable to both counties because they are in that situation where they may be in both places?
Oh, sure. You know, obviously that's not unheard of. And it's totally legal to do that if you have the proper tags. But, you know, I've ran into deer hunters in Cass County where the only valid tag they had in their pocket was an Adair County doe tag. And even when hunting in a party, as party hunting is allowed during these two seasons, each hunter has to have had a valid tag for wherever it is that they're hunting. So, you know, if you've got a tag that's for another county and you're in a county that's, you know, sold out or you weren't able to buy one there, you know, you're still in violation no matter how many tags the group has. So, you know, if you want to do it, you need to make sure that you have either antlerless tags for both or you have your statewide tag available for, you know, for instance, Cass County, and you also have your Adair County antlerless tag, so that it could be used later on if you do happen to make it over east into Adair County. So those are definitely combinations that you can do legally if you do it the right way.
All right. So great things to keep in mind for folks, and hopefully everybody's thinking about that and getting prepared before they head out. I know that you've kind of harped over and over again, too, for folks that, you know, may still be trying to make those purchases, or when they do each year, make sure you're getting the right stuff and make sure you have the right stuff before you walk out of the store. We've talked about that a number of times, where it's not the responsibility of the person on the end that's selling it to you. It's your responsibility to have the right things and know what you have in your pocket when you head out.
Yeah, and not only that, Chris, but you wouldn't believe how many calls I get every deer season about hunters putting the wrong tags on the deer that they harvest. That happens all too often. And, you know, just like when you're at the store, take a second. You know, you might have a half dozen tags in your pocket that are all valid, but take a second, read the tag over, make sure that it is the tag that you intend to use on the deer that you've just harvested, because, you know, it's pretty difficult to fix that thing on a weekend when, you know, we don't have any office staff available to make those changes for us until a business day. But read over your tag, make sure that it's the one that you want to put on that deer, and then make sure that you're putting it on there. You know, I'd rather see people take that extra few seconds to read over that tag and get it right, rather than just reach into their pocket and grab a handful of tags and pluck one off without looking at it and throw it on there. That can really make for a little bit extra work for everybody involved. So that's something else that we get calls about. And then another thing that's kind of tag related is our tags don't guarantee the edibility of a deer. Have people call every year that either have shot a deer that is sick, or they think they're doing kind of a favor to the animal by shooting an animal that might be wounded somehow. But make sure that you're still tagging those animals. It's just because an animal is sick or may have something going on with it doesn't exempt you from using your tag on it. Make sure that you do that. And, you know, there's a lot of different diseases that, or just infections or, you know, not real serious concerns disease-wise that white-tailed deer, you know, may have on an annual basis. And just because a deer looks sickly doesn't necessarily mean that it has CWD. I know we do a lot of promoting or educating about chronic wasting disease, but it's still relatively rare here in Iowa to encounter a deer like that. But there are a variety of other things, you know, whether it's an infection or a brain abscess or you know, hit by a vehicle or some other type of injury that a white-tailed deer can sustain. There's just a lot of different things that can affect the deer itself. So if it looks like it has an infection, or there's pus inside of it, or it has a nasty wound, you know, you don't have to eat it, but dispose of it properly to make sure that it's not just left behind to for everyone to see. So just a couple of other things I wanted to remind folks of as well.
Yeah, great reminders. We hope everybody's out there getting out there and enjoying and doing it right. Another thing we wanted to mention here this week on the program, or at least I did, to throw out there, the folks with Cass County Conservation and then an organization I belong to, the Iowa Bluebird Conservationists, teaming up to again to do our Christmas bird count. That's coming up on next Sunday, December the 18th, and we'll be meeting up at Cold Spring State Park in Lewis at 8 o'clock in the morning to divide into our groups that will cover different sections of our count circle. The circle is a 15-mile diameter circle that runs kind of between Atlantic and the Lewis Griswold area. And we'll have our different sections. In the morning, we kind of do more of the walking routes. We go to different parks and locations that will be good locations to spot birds and do some of that counting. And then the afternoon, we meet up at noon for lunch at Pizza Ranch, and then we go back out in the afternoon and do kind of our driving routes, where we just kind of cruise around some of those rural roads and see what we can spot out there, try to count as many birds as we can and get as many species as we can on the list, and try to do our best job of covering that circle. So we'd love your help. If you can help us out, you get in touch with me or with Laura Canning at Cass County Conservation, and we can get you all the details. Folks can also do feeder counts that day if they'd like to do that as well. So just get in touch with us, and we'll provide you the guidelines on that. This is the 123rd year of the Audubon Society's Christmas bird count, a very important citizen science project that goes on every year. And you can find out more at christmasbirdcount.org. And please, if you can help out, let us know. We'd love to get some more people to come along on the count. It's always a good time, and it's kind of a good, fun family activity. It's turned out for my family as well. It's kind of cool what you can go out there and see, and it's interesting to see those numbers from year to year, Grant, on the changes that we get to.
Yeah, definitely, and I've noticed lately that the swan and the Canada goose numbers have really increased here on the Shilberg ponds, and starting to see some swans on some other ponds that aren't quite frozen over yet. So hopefully we get some good waterfowl numbers recorded and good just songbird numbers in general as well.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. So hope folks join us for that. Well, Grant, stay safe out there. Keep all those folks out there in the woods in line, and hope everybody continues to have fun. Thanks again for your information this week.
Thanks for having me. And if anybody happens to notice a violation, they need to have any questions answered, feel free to give me a call at 712-250-0303. Thanks and stay safe.
All right. That's Grant Jelly, Cass and Adair County Conservation Officer. I'm Chris Parks, former McCunn Specialty Firearms in Messina. This is another week of the Conservation Report.